bipartisan work done by Senators Alexander and Murray, and I do commend it. I continue to believe Congress must find a solution to the Obamacare mess instead of providing bailouts to insurance companies.
Three people are dead after a shooting at an industrial park just north of Baltimore. Federal officials on the scene say five total have been shot. USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Money causes stress and uneasiness in our closest relationships, according to Bank of America's new Friends Again report. In fact, more than 50% of the population has seen a friendship end over money. And it is not always a lot of money that will cause a relationship rift. Nearly 40% of consumers say they would end a friendship over $100 or less. But there are ways we can salvage a relationship before it goes south over an IOU. Dr. Melanie Ross Mills, relationship expert.
Talking about money doesn't always have to be awkward. If you follow some simple tips, having an honest conversation is the best way to avoid these issues. Coordinate shared expenses in advance to avoid unexpected spending. Communicate openly with your friends about money owed and use mobile apps like the Bank of America app for a simple way to send, request, and receive money from friends, no matter where they bank.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/friendsagain.
Once again, Democrat-appointed judges are blocking President Trump's order on immigration. Correspondent Chris Barnes reports.
U.S. District Judge Theodore Schwang of Maryland says the president's comments during his campaign and on Twitter have led him to believe that the restrictions are meant to act as an unofficial Muslim ban, the judge declaring most of the directive unconstitutional, although he did uphold parts that do enable President Trump to ban North Korean nationals and Venezuelan business officials from traveling to the U.S. On Tuesday, a federal judge in Hawaii blocked the ban, while also keeping the North Korea and Venezuela provisions intact. I'm Chris Barnes.
More details are emerging about a Kentucky man who tried to hop over the White House fence. Police in D.C. say Curtis Combs climbed over a concrete barrier south of the White House yesterday morning. He was dressed as the Pokemon character Pikachu and dropped a backpack along the way. Combs is charged with unlawful entry. USA Radio News.
There are certain people you can always trust. Your grandma, your grandma's friends, lifeguards, action movie heroes who tell you to trust them. But there's no one you can trust more than your doctor. And when it comes to their own frequent heartburn, doctors and pharmacists trust the power of the purple pill, Nexium 24 Hour. And when you choose Nexium 24 Hour, you'll see why. When it comes to heartburn, trust the brand doctors trust, Nexium 24 Hour. May take 1 to 4 days, use as directed.
A group of scientists are claiming an advancement in their quest to allow quadriplegics to breathe on their own. Here's Sarah Lee Kessler with the details.
Scientists at Case Western Reserve School of Medicine in Ohio studied paralyzed rats and mice. Lead researcher Jared Craig.
We discovered a way to make animals breathe in a model of quadriplegia, and hopefully someday that will work in people.
Craig says they found a network in the spinal cord that can allow the diaphragm to contract, bypassing the normal breathing network in the brain, allowing rodents with severed spinal cords to breathe on their own.
Officials in Los Angeles voting again to undermine federal authority. Here's more on the story from Jason Campidonia.
The L.A. County Board of Supervisors voted Tuesday to bar access to non-public areas of county properties, including hospitals, libraries, and social service offices, to federal immigration agents without a warrant. The spots have been deemed sensitive locations, saying some people are afraid to seek medical care or other critical resources in fear of being deported. The new policy does not apply to jails, courthouses, or public schools because the county lacks jurisdiction in those locations.
Online shoppers will soon be able to buy items using Venmo. The PayPal mobile app has been a hit with young people. The company says it processed $8 billion in the second quarter of this year. Venmo has been part of PayPal since 2013 and allows people-to-people payments. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Staff Joseph Dunford are again now regulars at the NSC. Federal regulators reviewing Ford's recall of thousands of vehicles, SUVs.
And it gave them the chance to confirm something they knew all along. Really good soup is hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
And that soup also has a powerful, intangible quality that elicits feelings of comfort,
yep,
warmth, and well-being for many people. This,
yep,
is not something every restaurant you walk into can elicit.
No.
So he sold his soup restaurant in the spice business in 1997 and started in Southfield, Michigan, a company called Zoop that would focus on 12 soups, two of which would always be on the menu, a great lobster bisque with a creamy sherry sauce and lots of chunks of lobster,
right,
and a chicken pot pie that comes with a crumbly pie crust on top. The other 10 are picked out by the owner from literally hundreds of different restaurants, different soup categories.
Okay.
Some are low-fat, dairy-free, vegetarian, gluten-free. Some are Asian, Hispanic, chilies, almost anything you can think of that's served in a bowl, whether it's chili. They have something called a rattlesnake sausage stew. They have a...
No, whoa. Really? Yeah,
they have... It's not often on the menu, but it's rattlesnake with, I think, some rabbit and some vegetables.
So wow.
That's
pretty exotic.
They have an Asian soup called Dragon Fire Noodle Bowl.
Okay.
In the fall, they have something called pumpkin pie soup. That's a lot of pumpkin and a creamy topping.
Mm-hmm.
They have a pizza soup that comes with lots of pepperoni and something you would ordinarily see on a pizza with a very creamy cheese type. Vegetarian split pea is a big soup they have.
Wow.
Literally dozens of almost anything you can think of that's made in a soup bowl, they have.
Right. Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it started in 97. And so... Well, they didn't just start branching out on franchises back then, did they?
They focused on Michigan, where they built a handful of stores.
Right.
Most of the stores are located in Michigan, Illinois. They had a handful in Canada. They're now up to about 100.
Mm-hmm.
There's not too many yet on the Atlantic seaboard. I think there's 3 going on 4 in the whole state of New York.
Okay.
Pennsylvania has 6 in towns like Easton and Exton. I will be most likely the 2nd in the whole state of New Jersey.
Where's the other one?
The other one is in Somerset, New Jersey. Near
it's not far.
Cedar Lane Grove, near the not too far from the Rutgers campus.
All right, New Brunswick area.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
That couple is opening first. They're only about 2 or 3 weeks ahead of me. They just started construction about a month ago.
Okay.
And I am just starting construction today. I got my permits.
Congratulations.
Carpenter should be showing up.
Excellent.
I'm expecting an 8-week construction schedule, maybe another month or so for training, fitting out the store, hiring the staff. Probably early summer, mid-July is when I'm planning to be opened.
All right. Early summer, mid-July. So cold soups on there?
They do have a gazpacho. They do have 8 different salads, 8 different sandwiches.
Oh, so there's more to this menu.
Oh,
than
yeah. It's not just soup. Sure. During the summer, I mean, it's tough to... entice people in for
hot soup in
they
July.
They do have a gazpacho. They were working on the different cold soups, but they'll focus then on like albacore tuna, chicken Toscana, different types of sandwiches.
Nice.
The salads will be Greek, Asian, Cobb sandwiches, California tuna salad, local burrito. So a variety of salads.
Neat. Excellent. So, all right. So we have this place coming in. It's going to be in the summer. That's pretty cool. We're going to delve into more about your specific restaurant a little bit later on in the show. But who's Mark? How did Mark get involved in the soup business?
Well, Mark, I met my wife back in 1987.
Yeah.
She was a girl from New Jersey. I was sort of a scrappy street kid from Queens that had jobs like working in a liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at the Harry M. Stevens counter at Chase Stadium for Jets games.
Mm-hmm.
I worked delivering newspapers, all sorts of things. My father was a waiter and a bartender through most of his life. So from a young age, even down in the village in New York, I would be in and out of places he worked.
Mm-hmm.
My main restaurant experience prior to this venture was working at a franchise called Le Crepe on Austin Street in Forest Hills.
Right.
Now, I worked there 3 or 4 days a week, and I've never had a tougher job in my life. Right around the corner, they had the Forest Hills Tennis Stadium where the U.S. Open had been held before I moved to Shea.
Right.
They had movie theaters. We would have lines from Friday, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon until closing at 1 o'clock, and I've never worked so hard, bussing tables, making sure everything was supplied. And so I had a good year or two working there while I was attending St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
I then got a job in 1982 at a law firm in Midtown Manhattan.
Right.
At the time, it had 30 attorneys. It was a family practice they specialize in family practice, real estate, some corporate work. I started as a file clerk there, eventually became a manager, a supervisor. For the last 16 years I was there, I was a director of records. At that time, they had 400 attorneys, mainly in New York,
wow,
a securities litigation practice in Washington, and a big hedge fund practice in London.
Mm-hmm.
I was commuting 2 hours each way. I lived from 1990 to 2000 up in Basking Ridge, so I would take a train into the city. Coming home, I was working till 9, 10 o'clock at night,
yep.
Again, a two-hour commute.
Yep.
For the last 16 years, I've lived in Montgomery Township, so I would drive over to Route 27, take a bus into the city, a subway. Again, it was 2 hours each way.
Yep.
Coming home, if I missed an hourly bus, it could be 3 hours. So I was getting home at 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, Monday through Friday. My
yep.
wife was a high school teacher, so she was normally home by 4 or 5. I had three kids that were in the Montgomery school system that I, unless I could sneak out early from work, rarely saw.
It so was, other, yeah, you missed all their events and everything, huh?
Well, they were in the marching band. They were in all sorts of clubs. I got to whatever I could, but it was tough. It was becoming more and more of a grind.
Mm-hmm.
So about a year ago, my wife, without telling me, realized I needed a career change. Started looking online. Did not tell me at all. I was looking at all sorts of franchise opportunities for
wow.
house cleaning and sandwiches and all sorts of things. Came to me and said, you should really just stop working and in the city and just it's just really taking a lot of spirit out of you. You're not seeing me and the kids as often as you should.
Right.
So she started presenting these things to me. I said, look, I've worked for a law firm. I had a nice package and benefits. I was somewhat happy there. But she said, try this. Look into this. And I really resisted it. I said, I don't know anything about running my own business. I don't know that I'm ready to do this. But mm-hmm. we looked into it. We started with a sandwich company based in Illinois,
mm-hmm.
was looking to get set up in Princeton near the campus.
Right.
And when I told the founding partner, who was a Princeton alumni and also a big fundraiser there, he said, oh, that's great. If you set up your sandwich business in Princeton, I can probably have you catering events on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
I can probably see if maybe they'll consider meal swipes for the students. So I said, great.
Mm-hmm.
Started looking around with real estate agents in the Witherspoon and Nassau Street areas. And just found that the store widths and heights there are almost from colonial times. I needed
right.
at least a 24-foot wide store. Things there were 18, 20 at most.
Mm-hmm.
I needed at least a 12, hopefully a 16-foot height of the interior space. All I could find there was maybe 10. And the prices, frankly, were astronomical.
Sure.
So while I had my heart set on a sandwich store in the Princeton area, it just I eventually realized it's not going to work. So then we came across Zoop. My wife, again, had some material sent to me, an email with an attached questionnaire, are you suitable to be a franchisee?
Mm-hmm.
I filled it out on a Sunday night, submitted it. Within about 5 minutes, I got a call from the franchise operations manager's wife who said, oh, I saw you just filled out the form online, and we'd like to start. And I was like, wow, on a Sunday night, within 5 minutes to hear from this company, there's
wow.
something I'd like that right away.
Well, a little bit of skepticism on my part is like, if you might be only one of a handful, right? Or is it just they're in the growth mode, and you just happen to be the one of the great areas that they want to start growing in?
I assume that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
When we went there were three or four other couples that were all there for the welcome weekend, and you go and they make you actually go to one of their local restaurants. The headquarters are based in Southfield, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
If you do come out, it's sort of like a meet and greet. They check you out, you check them out, but you have to work a good long shift, a full day, at one of the local restaurants to make sure you know what you're getting into.
That's
working
good.
At the counter.
I appreciate that. That's nice.
A big part of their customer experience is giving out free samples of whatever soups you want.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to work not only handing out soups as people walk in, greeting them, putting things in bags, getting the soup in cups, and they sort of have someone report back to the owners, how did you do? How was your experience? How did you treat the customers, the co-workers, to make sure it's a good fit?
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. It's not a huge operation with thousands of things, and you're just a very small peg in a... I wanted something where it was a lot more intimate, and I felt right from the beginning that they're really on top of the not only the customer experience, but the franchisee's experience.
Neat.
The support and not only training but help and assistance and vendors I've gotten have been unbelievable. I just have been thrilled with the weekly calls, the checklists, the memos.
Mm-hmm.
all the concerns I had about stepping from working for a large law firm to running my own business have been alleviated because they just really step in with support. Everyone at the headquarters gets back to me immediately, not waiting for anything, working through the real estate component where we're looking for things, finding a general contractor to actually build the store.
Right.
I can't say enough about the great help I've got from the folks at the Zoop headquarters.
Awesome. Wow. Good story so far. Mark, we're going to have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of Mark and his story and learning about the Zoop franchise. You're listening to Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntChamber.com. Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand, or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and HunterShipper.com. We're learning about Zoop today. Nice day to be talking about. Nice warm bowl of soup or chili. Mark Barber's here with me, and he was just giving us some insight into how he came about learning about the Zoop and their franchising. But the first thing that comes to my mind, Mark, is that, and we've experienced this with a number of other folks, Hunterdon County is a completely different demographic than the rest of New Jersey. It's a very small population. Flemington and Raritan has been trying to redefine itself. So when you finally settled on that Zoop was going to be what you were going to invest in and build a business, how did you guys come about figuring out that Flemington and Raritan was going to be your area?
Well, my wife and I were somewhat familiar with the area. 16 years ago, when we were moving from Basking Ridge, where I had three small children in one room and a townhouse, loved the area, but just needed a bigger house, and it's very pricey up there.
Right.
We had to get closer to Rocky Hill, where my wife's mother, who's going to be the general manager of the store, said, look, she'll watch our kids. They were all preschool age, but she didn't want to commute up during the winter on 78 and up, so we had to find something closer to her.
Right.
So while Flemington, Raritan wasn't really next door, we just started driving around the area. And back then, before you got to the highways, it was largely farmland, at least compared to now. When I drive around, I see more and more townhomes and development and commercial development.
Yep.
A real estate agent that Zoop recommended, had us working, and started suggesting he's based here. He started showing us things over by the Staples and the Planet Fitness, behind the Chick-fil-A, all along the highway. And just driving around on our own, looking at those locations and talking to the brokers for the landlords, we sort of happened upon the Shops at Flemington. My wife and I drove there through there and were like, wow, this is a beautiful mall.
Right.
So we asked our broker to get us in touch with the landlord broker. We found out that a 2,500-square-foot store right in the middle, as you walk out of Alfresco's restaurant, there's a pathway across the parking lot, smack in the middle, right in front of that restaurant, was an empty space. So we started pursuing negotiations. I was very happy dealing with the landlord. The property managers, Levin Management, I've been dealing with since probably October, November, from the initial stages of drafting the lease and negotiating through getting my permits. Like I said earlier, we're about to start construction. Can't say enough of good things about either the landlord for that property or the Levin Management people. They've all been supportive, responsive, I've been thrilled. And we just decided, all right, this is what we want. And it seems like the perfect location. There's a lot of female clothing stores there, personal services places. I just saw whenever I go to the parking lot there, I see a lot of traffic even during the day of women and mothers coming in with small children. There are a few other food places there, and I'm not looking to really compete with them so much as be colleagues and building a nice dining experience at that mall.
Right.
I've just been thrilled with the experience so far, and I think I'll do very well there.
Well, I talk with Michelle Heide a lot on our financial update every morning at 8:30, and it's been apparent over the last 5 years that the fast food industry has been struggling. McDonald's has been dealing with tremendous downward swing. They've figured out by serving breakfast they could stem the tide a little bit. Burger King has struggled. So all the fast food restaurants have had a turn for the worst in terms of consumer choice. And who's been picking it up is the casual casual fast food dining. I think there's a better name for that, casual quick dining, I think it is. And this kind of fits into that genre, that category, it sounds like. You're not kind of in the competing with a Subway per se because you have a sitting area,
yes.
Is that right?
We will have six booths, room for 70 people to sit down, either at tables, some are wheelchair accessible. I was big on the booths. I wanted four-person booths. We'll have six of those. And along the window, counter space so people can sit with a laptop or a phone and
nice.
Work.
So it's kind of a Starbucks-esque type sit down and do your work. But enjoy a little bit of the
dining. We're looking for a dining experience that will feature 12 always rotating soups. That was important too. That it wasn't always the same things on the menu. That every day things would change and soups would come and go. And an environment that focuses on comfort, satisfaction, and convenience.
Right.
So the in-store experience, we wanted people to, especially mothers with small children, to be able to sit at a booth, relax.
A lot of concentration on healthy eating now. Does Zoop? I imagine it does promote and demonstrate the nutrition that's involved in these.
When you go to the website where you can order online now, every soup you click on, you can see the calories, the sodium content. They always offer things that are gluten-free, low fat, sodium, low sodium. So that was big on me. And not only a nice array of menu options, but quality soup. I used to make soup from an early age. I had to learn how to cook. When I was going to St. John's, I would cook lasagnas. I was always big on omelets. Soups, I always, after Thanksgiving, took all the bones and the turkey and made my own soup. St. Patrick's Day in March, I always made a nice corned beef and cabbage that turned into a large soup that people would be eating for days afterwards. So quality soup was always something I thought was important, and it's tough. I mean, a lot of restaurants offer soups, but good, almost homemade quality soup is tough to find, and a nice variety that's not only three or four things as a supplement to other menu options, but the main focus. And it's 12, and I like that you can change them day to day, week to week.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. So 2,500 square feet, how much of that is actually sitting area and how much of that is this, is the prep area?
I would say roughly 1,000 will be the counter space. And again, when people walk in, we encourage them to try the soups. They have a little cup and bowl and they can walk away with a sample.
Wow.
I would say at least 1,200, maybe 1,300 feet will be seating area, the booths, tables in the middle. As soon as you walk in, along the front windows will be stools and counter space. The back will be prep, freezers, the counter space.
Now, how much time, it's not time, how much effort and advice did the headquarters give you in terms of the decor, the arrangement of the restaurant?
Well, they have a Illinois-based architect called Arkinetics, who has worked with them opening dozens of other restaurants. They have been amazing. I mean, I'm not really, I don't have that sort of background.
Right.
I would put in my, I had like final approval on things, but they would give me great advice on where your restroom should go, the line, people walking in, how you should put the soda and beverage dispensers, everything they've been helpful with. Then we bid out to five general contractors, one of whom, again, was based in the Midwest area, Michigan, Illinois. And I was a little hesitant to have someone that's from that area working on my store in New Jersey until I was told that they had already built about 30 stores. The gentleman that's going to be my general contractor gave me the names of five different people, all of whom I called and raved about what a great job they did, not only building the store, finishing it early, at or under budget, but that they went and knew, you know, some of the contractors will have the plans and do a great job fitting out the store. This guy, I was told, knew where every little sticker went, where every little, everything in the store, he's done literally dozens of times.
Right.
So that, that gave me a lot of
Well, what about, now we always talk about how it is to work with the zoning officers and the towns and stuff, so bringing somebody from out of state to work in New Jersey, how was that experience for that individual?
A lot better than I thought.
Yeah.
Montgomery is where I lived. I was looking into putting some businesses there, and I heard they're really like tough, and they have very high standards, and they make businessmen jump through hoops to get everything approved. I was working with a gentleman named Jeff Klein, the building inspector, and his office, as well as the architect, Zoop headquarters, and it's as easy and worry-free an experience as I've got
to
say, Flemington really, and Laura offered help. It went much better than much
that's
better and faster than I thought.
Wow.
Efficient, quick. My plans were approved almost a week or so after they were approved in February. Lately, it's just been a matter of us hiring the contractor and then some contractors all having to provide insurance and licensing information.
Yep.
Once all that was in, I think within a week, Jeff had my plans approved, all the permits approved, and we're ready to go.
Neat, neat. So any is there a decor theme to this, or is it just or do you have a little carte blanche in trying to make it community-based?
They do have a theme with a lot of like oranges and comfortable colors, not so much pastels, but not bright things. A lot of fast food restaurants have colors that jump out at you and really make you, after you eat, to get out there as soon as possible. And they
right.
do that on purpose. They don't want people lounging and sitting there all day. So the experience is bright reds and just like a Burger King.
Yeah.
You know, not ugly, but not something that welcomes you and tries to get you to stay. Zoop, I think, moved away from that, and they have a lot of warmer colors and textiles and prints. They want you to sit, relax, and enjoy the meal.
Okay. So take me through what you experienced in the restaurant that you had worked at and what you're expecting to happen in the shops at Flemington. When I park and now and I come through the door, what is my experience supposed to be like from start to finish being a customer at Zoop?
The CEO, Eric Hersher of Zoop, has something called Zoopisms, where they want not only the customer service experience, but also the interaction among the staff and the management to be as low hassle and as friendly an experience as possible. during the training, there's a week of training where Zoop sends two people and they just try to get them to feel, yeah, there's going to be stress, there's going to be peak hours, here's how to manage the flow, manage people coming in without people getting all frenzied and crazy. They want as low stress an environment as possible. And that then should be conveyed to the customers who are dealing with people behind the counter that are upset or worried about things, and that everyone should be in as nice, you know, as much karma and relaxing and just taking it easy as possible so you're not stressing out on the customers. That the customers can come in, be encouraged to try soup, not to be rushed through, oh, come on, order, let's go. Here, try some soup, sample.
Mm-hmm. Do you go through a queue?
Yes, okay. You line up, and there's the first thing you come to is not someone that's yammering at you for an order, but saying, here, try some soups. And then you move to someone else that'll take your order, and they move things along, and you get your order as quickly as you can, but they don't want you to feel rushed and hurried and let's go. Here's 12 different varieties. You can have as many as you want. Try them. And then
what's stopping somebody from having their whole meal
you see something like rattlesnake sausage, and I've seen that in the local Pennsylvania restaurants, you're like, oh my God. So try it before you order it and have to pay for it.
That's cool.
Take a taste.
Yeah. So am I getting a sense that there's a separate area where the soup sampling is from the actual?
No, that's the first thing you walk up. When you first wind up, there's all the 12 soups out that day. They want you to stop and you know, there's room where you can sort of set back and try.
So what, they're being ladled out and they're just on a table so people could pick them up? Or
no, they hand you a little cup with maybe, say, an ounce or so and a little spoon.
So you're queuing past a counter with this person's